This is the Pete Brindley Show podcast, episode 18. How are you? Thank you for listening. Today, we have a different twist on the podcast, as I'm interviewed by someone else. I was recently invited down to Paul Santos' office. Paul Santos Live. He has these interviews that he puts up on his website and also on Facebook. And we had a nice talk with Paul. He ended up posting about 10 minutes on Facebook and on his website. We actually have the raw video here, or the raw audio of the video. We talked for about 20 minutes, and we thought we'd play it back this week.
We're joined here today by well-known radio personality Pete Brindley. And Pete, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I think of adversity, and I don't like to talk about adversity a lot, but we all have to deal with it. We're both sports fans, and we hear about, oh, that team came back from adversity. I'm thinking, compared to Pete Brindley, there is no adversity on the team. I mean, you're cruising along. You're working your job at BSM. You end up losing the job at BSM.
Yep.
And then shortly after that, a stroke. I mean, that's a tough stretch for Pete Brindley.
Yeah, there's been a few things along the years. You know, there's been like shoulder replacements, knee replacements. I have a metabolic disorder that causes the cartilage in my joints to disappear. So I have that. There's a book coming out about that, by the way,
right. If
I ever finish it. But yeah, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was February 27th or something. It was probably 5 below. And I start walking down the stairs, and I felt like the flu was coming on. So, and then I got dizzy, and one thing led to another. That was the stroke. And I thought I was having the flu, so I just, you know, crashed on a chair, and I experienced some flu-like symptoms. And it wasn't until a couple of days later, when I was still dizzy, that my wife said, "This isn't right." And I ended up having a stroke. And yeah, I was just getting to the point with the morning show on Easy 99.1.
Yes.
I was just getting comfortable. I had a new partner. Things were happening. And yeah, I remember a doctor at St. Luke's. I don't know his name, but he came in and he said, "I'm sorry to tell you, sir, but you've had a stroke." And my first reaction was, this is real. You know, this is not just, you know, you fell down and broke your leg or something, which would be bad enough. But then it's funny. My wife says the first thing I said to the guy was, "I don't have time for that. I got to walk my daughter down the aisle," which was coming up in September of that year. And yeah, that was the beginning of, I guess, a long road.
Well, I remember you writing about how, you know, this happened out of the blue. And I was thinking to myself, man, you know, at that time, the big issue of the day might have been something like, okay, what funny thing can we come up with on the morning show? Maybe there's a new promotion we can come up with, or maybe a trivia question or something like that. And then after that, it was like, how am I going to walk down the hall?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I was doing a morning show, which, you know, we never got too serious. Even when I was on the talk show, I didn't want to get too serious in the morning because I figured there was time for that later in the day, right. You know, to get serious. So, yeah, it was always, you know, like one of the most successful call-in bits I ever did was, "Who has the most refrigerator magnets in New Bedford?" And I got a lot of calls on that. Yeah. People, "Oh, I got this one from Albuquerque, and my granddaughter made this one." So we were always talking about silly stuff. And I ended up at Charlton in Fall River for about 3 weeks, and you're right. It became a goal to make it down the end of the hall and then back again. And I remember the first day I went from a walker to a cane, I told my therapist, who I have since stayed in touch with, we now have a nice friendship. I remember telling my therapist, "I'm not doing that. I can't do that." And she was, you know, very aggressive. She was like, "Oh, yes, you are. In fact, you're going to do it twice." You know, and hats off to physical therapists who make us work when we don't want to.
Well, I always thought it was moving to hear this thing about your daughter's wedding because, you know, obviously every father wants to walk the daughter down the aisle. I don't have daughters myself, but I know that's a big thing
walk
for a father.
Walk your son down. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, things are changing all the time.
That's right. You know, it's a new normal out there, you know.
Right. So, you know, we were reading about it and we were thinking, wow, I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it. And you did.
Yeah, I did. The stroke happened in February. My daughter got married in September, and that was my goal. And I've always been a person that needs a goal, you know, no matter what it is, a ratings goal, a salary goal, getting my golf score down to this, you know. That's my next goal, by the way. is, because right now I'm afraid that if I tee off, I'll fall down.
Right.
So my next goal is to play a round of golf. But that was my goal, was to walk my daughter down the aisle. In fact, I walk with a cane now. I don't really need it. I don't use it around the house, but I use it out shopping or walking around downtown. And my physical therapist said, "You're not going to need that." And I thought he was crazy at the time. I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You're going to walk her down the aisle without that cane." And that became our goal. And I did have a cane at the back of the church and the front of the church, but I didn't need it. So that's, I kind of leaned on her. Yeah. She's pretty strong.
Yeah, so. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, what is it like, you know, going about your business, like, you know, people are going about their business, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have difficulty moving a limb, you had difficulty speaking, I know, for a while, it's your livelihood to be able to speak. Must have been really horrifying.
It was. It was also a goal to get back on the radio, which I did accomplish last March, I think it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I ended up doing a show. I do have some difficulties. I still stutter at times. Whenever I have a sponsor, sponsor's name at the radio station, I pre-record that because I don't want to mess up his name. He paid for that, so I don't want to say his name wrong, you know?
They're paying you to deliver the commercial.
Exactly, exactly. But you're right. It was there were times when I wondered if it was going to come back. My wife had me exploring, you know, different possibilities. I started writing more with the Standard Times and now with my own blog at PeteBradley.com, which you can access right now. But yeah, it was scary. It was scary, you know.
I know you're on WBSM for 25 years in the morning, and you know, broadcasting can be kind of a business that can surprise you at times. In fact, I remember one time Pete and I were working at a station, and one day they came in and they changed the format to country. Everybody was like,
"Do you know what?
You didn't get the country accent down, did
you?" But you know what? I love country music now.
Yeah, now you came around.
I have two children that live in Virginia.
Yeah.
And my two oldest live in Virginia Beach, and that's all they listen to down there. And Luke Bryan and Blake Shelton, I love that stuff. Of course,
music's a little different.
If I loved it, yeah, it was a little more twangy 25 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. They changed the format on a Friday afternoon. And I spent that whole weekend trying to figure out, do I want to stay here? And I went to work Monday morning, and that was a whole new world.
But you didn't do the howdy as Pete Bradley.
Oh, no.
I couldn't change it. Yeah, this way to say it.
No cowboy hat. No.
But anyway, the point is broadcasting can be a difficult business in the sense that it can change on a dime. And obviously, they made the decision at WBSM to let you go after 25 years. What was that like, and what happened there?
I'll be honest with you, it hurt. It really did. I finished my show on a Friday, and I finished it at 10, and I got called into the manager's office at 10:15. And as he closed the door and went to his desk, he said, "Whew, this is going to be tough." And that was my first thinking that something's up. And he sat down and he said, "We have decided to," what were the exact words? "We have decided to do away with the position of manager of WBSM." At that point, because I was the program director.
Yes.
So at that point, I thought that they were taking away my management job, which would have been okay because there were a lot of headaches, and just going to have me do the show, and maybe there would be a pay cut. But then he slid a separation agreement in front of me, and I stopped and I said, "Did I just do my last show?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "We have decided to do away with the," you know, he's kept to the program. You know, he only read the quote. And I think I asked him a total of three times, and I got the exact same answer three times.
Right.
So I knew this was thought about, this was rehearsed, and it hurt.
I'm sure it did, yeah.
You know, if they had said, because your ratings are bad or whatever, you know, but to just, I don't know, to this day, I've never been given a concrete answer. I think it was salary.
Right.
You know, I was making a decent living, and the new company came to town, and after 2 years, I think they just said, "We're not going to pay the guy this much." And what amazed me was the feedback that I got from the Standard Times, all three of them, you know, Mayor Mitchell, Mayor Lang, Mayor Kalis, they were all on the phone with me that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an overwhelming response. And I still get it. I met somebody yesterday at the gym because I walk every day and I don't do cold. So I joined the rec center of Fairhaven, and someone came up to me yesterday and said, "We used to listen to your show every morning, getting the kids up. And, you know, I miss it." And it was a very difficult chapter.
I imagine. But now you're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, you started writing for the Standard Times.
Yep.
Totally different kind of thing. But it's interesting because I see the articles that you write, and I'm thinking, well, this must be fun to be able to say, you know what, I got this thing in my mind, and I want to talk about it, and I have this forum to do so.
It's funny because the Standard Times reached out to me, if not the night I was fired, that weekend. And I went down and I met with Jonathan Comey, who's no longer there, but I met with a few of the writers and the editors, and they said, "Would you still like to have a voice in the community?" And I said, "Of course. You know, I'd love that." So we weren't sure what I was going to do. We weren't sure if I was going to write sports. You know, I went to a Bishop's Thang game and shadowed Lori Lowe's to learn how they cut. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, no question.
It really is. To cover it, you might think, well, what, you watch a basketball yeah. game and you write about it. But she's got sheets going with
yeah,
stats,
right.
and it's crazy. So I followed her with sport. So I did the Sunday column. And we have a joke in my house that every Monday or Tuesday I say, "You know, hon, I don't know what I'm going to write about this week." And she laughs because I guess I say that every week.
And then you come up with something.
And then something comes up. What I learned in my first year with the paper was whatever I'm thinking about, that's what I should write about.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's top of mind is what I go with. So someone asked me recently in an email, and I love getting feedback, by the way. Somebody asked me in an email, they said, "What do you come up with these things?" And the answer, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I might write about this. I might tell everybody about your palatial studio.
Yeah, you'd have to... You have to use some hyperbole than that to pull out the 50-cent word.
My podcast studio is my dining room. I have a kitchen chair that has my mixer on it and cords running everywhere, so don't worry about it.
Well, the deadline coming up, I'm sure the pressure of the deadline is like, I got to come up with something, and all of a sudden the mind starts going. And,
yeah, my deadline is Wednesday at noon.
Yeah.
Wednesday at noon, and usually it develops that Monday is a thinking day, Tuesday's a writing day, and Wednesday morning I clean it up.
Right.
Edit.
So. Sounds great. Sounds interesting. Well, now you're doing a podcast, something like the audio of what this is. This is a video version of, but you're doing the audio. Radio is your gig.
By the way, the audio of this video is going to appear on the podcast.
All right. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
It's called
that.
Cross promotion.
Yeah, cross promotion. Exactly. PeteBrayley.com.
Yes.
And we've got PaulSantosLive.com.
Yep.
So you got something to horse around with when you got
there
the laptop open.
The podcast was something that's, you know, when I got back on the radio on WPLM, it's a music station,
right.
You know, Easy 99.1. And there were some people that said, "It's great to hear you, but I want to hear more." You know, you
right.
can only talk
right.
for, you know, 12 seconds here,
right.
29 seconds here, 2 minutes here.
So remember, we worked at a station years ago where you introduced the song and you were done for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
And so you had to stay awake. You're like, "Give me a cup of coffee or something."
I'm not complaining. I mean, that's the way it is.
There
and people like their music, and that's great. So, but the podcast gives me a chance to basically do whatever I want. I mean, I think you could even swear if you want to.
Yeah, right.
I don't.
Yeah,
but,
right.
It really gives me, in some ways, it gives too much freedom because
right.
it's like, you know, the only theme I have for the podcast is it's like the radio show on your computer now,
your
phone. You know,
go for a walk or something, you can put it on. And
exactly.
Like
and I debated that. I thought, how long should I make each podcast? Because if you look at podcasts, there are some that are an hour long. There are some that are a few minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter and I, she's kind of my consultant. My daughter and I sort of agreed on, like, she lives in Virginia. So she listens to the podcast while she's cooking.
Oh, great.
So I kind of gear it to a workout or cooking dinner, That's how long ago with it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But it's interesting because you and I have same sort of likes in terms of broadcasting and so forth. And I started doing these interviews and I'm throwing them up online. And then the next thing you know, people are asking about them and so forth. So this new forum, you know, like you and I, we're in our 50s. We're from another era, you know. But to be able to go on the internet, whether it's a podcast or whether it's this forum, you know, you can do whatever you want. We answer to nobody. You know,
right.
It's like,
right.
I was thinking to myself, at the end of this thing, you can say produced, directed, edited, lit,
lit,
everything.
Yeah, yeah. He set the lighting before we started. Yeah.
So in the podcast, like produced by Pete Braley, directed by Pete Braley, edited by Pete Braley.
Technical assistant provided by Pete Braley. Yeah.
So you can say, oh, this guy, man, this guy really knows his stuff. But I know
thank God, though, my 18-year-old son set up the website.
Yeah. Right, so that helps you out.
Too many things for me to think of.
So what are some of the things, I mean, you said that you're trying to come up with identity. I mean, I've heard many of the podcasts. I like the AM radio one, by the way.
Oh, did you?
But that's because I'm a broadcasting guy that likes broadcasting. But all the different topics, you spoke to somebody, I think, that moved to Germany. You had a young lady that went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to get different topics like I am here. But it is a lot of fun to look at something and say, gee, I'm going to see if I can, you know. Like when I said one day, I said, oh, you know, I think I'm going to get Pete Braley. You know, hopefully he'll come. You know, I get this little studio, you know.
Yeah.
I said, oh, Pete Braley, you'd be interesting to talk to.
Ta-da.
So here he is. So you come into my office and they're like, hey, is that the guy that writes the column? I'm like, yeah, that's him.
That was the first time that I've been, that I was recognized as, is he from the Standard Times?
Yeah, usually it's the radio guy.
Usually they remember the radio.
Yeah, so the secretary here in my law office is like, oh, isn't that the guy that writes the article? I'm like, yeah, that's him.
There's a country song about that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, there is?
Time marches on. See?
Oh, wow.
Time marches on. Things change.
That's no question about it.
Yeah.
So goals. I mean, I heard your first podcast and it was kind of like, hey, look, I'm having fun, whether this thing spins into anything or not.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel about it, too. Just hitting different topics, talking to people. But there are so many interesting people to talk to and so many interesting topics.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on forever.
There are. One of the things that I've tried to do with the podcast, as you mentioned, some of the interviews, those are people that I somehow know.
Right.
You know, I talked to Julia Chungaliti. She used to play, she was the catcher on my daughter's softball team.
Right, I heard
and
that.
She's now working for the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, she's working
cool.
with the Falcons. She's been with the Miami Heat. She has a ring because of LeBron. John Booten, I interviewed. He lives in Germany. I used to sing with his mother at weddings, you know. And so, ironically, through Facebook, I learn what these people are doing now. I get in touch with them. And, they love to come on and talk. And it amazes me the things that, you know, like I knew John when he was a small boy, you know.
Yeah.
And now he's 38 years old, I think, and he's a musician in Germany. So that's a lot of life experience that he's had, and he's got some great stories. So I'm always looking for stories. And to be honest with you, the theme, I guess, of my podcast is just life, you know,
right.
what happens to me in life, you in life, and these people that I've met. I'd love to, you know, come up with one every week or two a week, but really it's just like whenever it happens, it happens. But so far, that's okay.
Yeah, well, it is interesting because you do kind of take what's happened in your life and people that you know and different topics, and there's definitely plenty to talk about. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I've had, I guess I was blessed with a curiosity in life that, you know, the common everyday things that happen, they amaze me. And I'm like, well, how does that happen? You know, I mean, what does, you know, like, if you go in my phone, I have all these little, in my note column, I have all these little sentences. They're just thought starters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the latest one I'm developing is, does your dog dream? Now, it happened. I was watching TV one night, and all of a sudden, the little beagle, I have two dogs, the little beagle is laying there, and all of a sudden, his feet start moving. And then all of a sudden, he goes, out of the side of his mouth. Just,
And he was sleeping.
And he's not awake, you know? So it's like, what are they dreaming about? Is it a squirrel? You know, so I thought maybe I could do something with that. Maybe talk to a vet. I don't know. But,
right.
You know, like it's either a blessing or a curse that I see these things and I wonder a lot. And I found out that a lot of other people do, too.
Well, I had somebody on here who claims he was abducted by a UFO.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, you did see that one? So
that was a, what, three-part series?
Yeah, I said, no, one day. Well, I'm glad you noticed there was a three-part series.
Yeah.
One day I'm walking through court, right? And somebody that was sitting on the bench went, hey, where did you get that guy from the UFO? So anyway, I mean, you know.
Isn't it funny what people remember?
Yeah, they remember the UFO guy. Yeah. You know? But anyway, hey, Pete, we really appreciate you stopping by. I know you've gone through a lot of stuff and you've bounced back and you're alive and well. I hate to use that term, alive and well. That means we're old. It's like, whatever happened to Santos? He's alive and well.
One thing I learned is we're not alone, you know, as far as people that go through life with pain and issues. And, you know, there aren't too many people that talk about it or that make light of it. You know, I do tend to make light of it because, I mean, you're either going to do that or crawl over and cry.
Right. You know? Well, I mentioned to you I had a bad back surgery and I was in miserable pain for 2 months and I'm still in pain now, worse than before.
You wouldn't know.
And the doctor knows who you are. Yeah, that's what my wife says. As soon as the light goes on, he's like, yeah, all right. But I remember thinking, well, geez, if Pete Braley can get through his thing, I can get through my thing.
Well,
so
thank you.
You're definitely a little bit of an inspiration. But keep up the good work with the podcast. Keep having fun. And hopefully we'll have you on again. You can be like that. You know, the old shows, they always had like the regular guests that would come back.
Where are they now? You know what?
You know, like, a couple times a year, they bring Braley back, you know, kind of thing.
I always thought they did that because somebody else canceled.
Well, no. We have you at the top of the list.
Oh, okay.
So
all
we'll
right.
keep you there for now.
Okay.
Pete, thanks again.
Thanks,
Take
Paul.
Care. All right.
My thanks to Paul Santos, who I actually worked with a couple of years ago and still do on some broadcasts. Check out his website, paulsantoslive.com, and he also puts the interviews up on Facebook. That's it for this week. We'll be back soon with another episode of the Pete Braley Podcast. Take care.